Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
All right, here's the deal. We've just finished up recording today's podcast for World Service members. If I was to use a cliched footballer's expression to describe how I'm feeling right now, I'd have to say buzzing, Murph. I'd have to say I'm kind of buzzed up after that.
Well, you're certainly not sick as a parrot. No. Is buzzing as good as over the moon?
Over the moon just means happy. It's kind of... buzzing is something a little bit different. Buzzing means excited. You know, I feel like a jolt of adrenaline going through.
Yeah. That it's given you something for the day. As opposed to over the moon, it's like the job is done. You know, yeah. It's more satisfaction.
That'd be when you're satisfied. I just thought there was very exciting podcasts after last night's penalty shootout drama between Manchester City and Real Madrid.
It's like Bernardo. It's like he envisaged, you know, 14 million possible futures and somehow ended up averaging them all out and taking a penalty, which was like chipping the ball back to the teacher at the end of like PE.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what? What was that? Like, it was nothing. It was nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It's a bog standard. I'd say about probably 10 to 15% of penalties are taken that way now. And they usually go in because the keeper dives, picks a corner and dives. Now, in fairness, they're often preceded by a little bit of fainting or deception by the player.
Yeah.
And as a footballer as deceptive as Bernardo Silva is,
I would have thought,
like, he managed to do it with a free kick last week in the first leg, but he can't in the penalty. He just runs straight up and chips it rather than just having a little look to one side.
Ugh. Well, this is the mad thing. You know, it's like, oh my God, Bernardo. Like, so it was Modric had gone just before him, right? Modric, that's the reason the crowd had the ball.
Yeah.
Because Modric took his penalty, which was a poor penalty. Ederson saved it. Modric then wellied the ball into the crowd in his frustration. Although maybe this was Modric just showing his class. You know, Modric's... The wizened face of Modric was hilarious.
Oh, man. He looked 58 years old taking that penalty.
He really did. Like, he really did. And, you know, like a guy you'd see in a camper van, like sort of, you know, Connemara, like a sort of... he did okay when he came on.
No, I took the kids out of school. Sort of guy you look like. Nah, they're learning nothing in there. Nah.
It's just a computer programming. It's just programming, isn't it?
Yeah, me and the wife just set off there about 9 months ago. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever go back to Germany, to be honest. Vibe of that off him.
But he, you know, he was getting tired, even though he'd only come on as a sub sort of late in the second half. He was getting tired by the end, but his penalty was terrible. But then he lashed it into the crowd, and maybe this was his most cunning move. I mean, maybe he... I don't know. I mean, you might have assumed there was another ball around somewhere. I'm not sure. But Bernardo Silva ended up standing there for ages waiting for the Man City fans to give the ball back. Because I suppose whoever got the ball was like, oh, I've got that's a good souvenir for me. And then after a while it transpired, we need the ball.
To qualify for the Champions League semi-final. We're going to need that ball.
So they ended up throwing it back, by which time Bernardo had been standing around for ages. And then it was as though he felt he had to rush. It was like, oh, you know, I've already been, the world is watching. I've been keeping them for so long. You know, I'd better just put the ball down, you know, step back, run up and kick it straight to the goalkeeper. There was nothing. He didn't try to do anything with the penalty. I've never seen such a terrible penalty. Like, I mean, at least it wasn't even a Panenka. You know, a Panenka is like a floaty shot.
Well, it was a Panenka. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to float down the middle, though. And he just didn't manage to move the goalkeeper first.
He passed it,
was always going to look silly once somebody failed to pull this off. Yeah.
No, a Panenka, when it fails to come off, it looks obviously pathetic. We've seen it happen on a number of occasions. But the whole point with a Panenka is that you chip the ball, like you float the ball a little bit so that the goalkeeper has time to move out of the way. Like Bernardo just wrapped it straight into his hands. I've never seen such a terrible penalty. Of course, it's a small detail in the overall. A small but important.
Well, sorry, I think it's a small, hilarious detail, and I will pull you up on that, Ken. Well, maybe you didn't, in fairness. I can't tell you what penalties you have seen or not seen, but at least Bernardo Silva got his in the air. I don't know if you saw Osasuna's Ante Budimir.
Oh, but
I saw the commentary's good. Yeah.
And he's missed it, and he hasn't just missed it. It's the worst penalty you've seen, certainly this season, and maybe ever. Poor old Ante Budimir. What a moment, and what a terrible spot kick that was.
There it was, called on Premier Sports there. This guy, I think, tried to Panenka, but started stumbling, didn't know what he was doing, stopped. He's running up, he stops, he starts walking. He then trips up over himself, chips it, bounces a couple of times before going into the goalkeeper's arms. And there he is, looking down at his football boots, because of course it was the equipment's fault.
Yeah, although I still think Bernardo's was worse than that, because it just was such a... Like it was like a mind freeze from one of the best players in the world, just not to try to do anything with his penalty. I mean, at least that guy, we saw that he had a plan, which he botched. He made a complete mess of it. But Bernardo, it's like, what? Like, he'll be replaying that in his mind for the rest of his career, thinking, what came over me in that moment? Like, why did I just not even try to do anything with that penalty?
I've had you stuck on this for 5 minutes. Go on. What else do you want to talk about then? If this is a minor detail, I mean, pretty important detail. But.
Well, it was a good game. It was a really interesting game. I think Man City were ultimately disappointing. Did you mention Haaland? Owen?
Haaland, yes. And De Bruyne both asked to be taken off. No, they didn't, Pep. No, they didn't.
I wouldn't be surprised if De Bruyne did, because his. He had turned purple and he was absolutely blowing. Yeah. And he was like, you know, with the hamstrings, the hamstring issues that he's had. I mean, he did miss half the first half of the season with the injury. Was it from the Champions League final, or did he re-aggravate that? Anyway, he just has
to stand out there for another 15 minutes to take a penalty. So I would have thought he could soldier on.
Yeah, maybe, because that's all
Haaland
Real Madrid
as well. Haaland, it's so grim watching Haaland just be the cheerleader. Oh, is it grim?
Listen,
no, it's not. It's pretty funny.
If Haaland said he was too tired and asked to be taken off, I'm sorry, that is a bottle job. What is he doing?
And I would be interested to hear his account of that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it would be amazing to me if he... Maybe he was feeling some type of... injury, who knows? But the idea that he would ask to be taken off. Now, the fact that he was taken off is not surprising at all, given the way that he was playing, the way that he was performing. I think if he hadn't been Haaland, he would have been taken off long before he was, which was, you know, the end of 90 minutes. I think Guardiola is conscious of the effect that substitution like that might have on the crowd. You know what I mean? Like you're taking off Haaland? What? You know, we need a goal and you're taking off Haaland? It makes a lot of people would look at that and go, this is mad. Like this is a Pep, you know, too clever type thing. But he was playing so badly. I mean, the stats about him, you know, he gave the ball away more times than he managed to pass the ball to a teammate in this tie. You know, he had a few shots. You know, if you look at the stats, Haaland had shots, but they were all goose feather head headers that he had. Like it's like a head like a pillow. Like, what? How does he head the ball so badly, you know? And oftentimes preceded by these awesome leaps, you know, and then he just sort of lobbed the ball with his head towards the goal. Like, compare it to Kimmich, you know, Kimmich's concrete head against Arsenal. I mean, that was a serious header.
Yeah, you brought that one.
Yeah.
He really did. I mean, it was a nice, you know, maybe if Haaland had had a nice ball like Kimmich shot from Guerrero, maybe he would have. He was always just stretching a little bit, you know. But he basically didn't have a really dangerous chance in the entire game. He nearly had an assist in this game. Let's not forget. He nearly had an assist where he played a really lovely ball to Grealish, who's in loads of space. And just can't finish off a chance like that. You know, I mean, there was a lot of players on the pitch who in that position, not least Haaland himself, if you give them the ball in that type of position. Do you know the chance I'm talking about? Haaland played the ball sort of left and Grealish is running through. There's loads of space. He's just too slow to make anything of the chance. It ends up missing near post. I think maybe the defender got a touch on the shot and it went wider than near post. And shortly after that, I got a text from one of my friends who's a Grealish hater. Grealish is the biggest transfer flop since Torres. When are people going to accept 3 years? All he's done is give away a penalty in an FA Cup final. And I thought, well, I mean, that's obviously unfair. And then I started to think about it. And, you know, like, Grealish's numbers are pitiful. I know, even Grealish himself over the recently, I think after they played Palace, he did an interview where he was like, yeah, you know, it's such a pity. This was the recent match against Palace. So they win 4-2. De Bruyne scored a couple of great goals. And Grealish said afterwards, oh, I actually played really well. You should watch that back to see how well I played. But
He did. See, that was a really good. In my mind's eye, he was linking up. There were a lot of pre-assists in that goal for Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
He seemed to be involved in a lot. He's just never quite given the killer pass or indeed scoring a goal. I think he has one Premier League assist all season, I read this morning.
3 goals and 1 assist in the season. So that's so he's got 4 goal contributions, which is the same as players like Lewis Dunk, Gabriel, the Arsenal defender, Solly March, obviously a player in Grealish's position, who's had problems with injuries, I think. Facundo Buonanotte, often denizen of the Brighton bench. Nathan Ake, who plays in the same team as him. Dan Byrne, not known for his football ability. Dan Byrne has as many goal contributions as Jack Grealish. Jakub Kivior, the Arsenal reserve defender. Sven Botman, who, as we know, has the worst knee in the Premier League this season. A lot of the time he's been forced to play on that knee. Virgil van Dijk. These are all players with as many goal contributions as the £100 million Jack Grealish. Lewis Miley at Newcastle, who's barely got off the bench. Andros Townsend, you know, who, you know, again, is in
the
a
last
similar
two
position.
Players, there was a 30-year age difference between the last two players who just mentioned there.
Lewis Miley and Andros Townsend. They're all level with Grealish, you know.
But remember all those passes back to João Cancelo so that he could assist for a goal.
Well, yeah, again, Cancelo, a player who's no longer there. I mean, the same goal contributions as in the Champions League as Reece Nelson. You know, it was news to me almost that Reece Nelson had played in the Champions League, but there you go. Tomiyasu and Grealish are level. Davinson Sanchez, Pepe. I'm talking about Porto. I'm talking about the Porto.
Yeah, we got there. Yeah, I had to think though.
Right now, and this is in a season when, if you look at the Champions League, the players, 4 of the top 6 players in terms of goal contributions, I mean goals and assists, are actually English. So Harry Kane, Phil Foden, Jude Bellingham, and Bukayo Saka are all in the top 6 players in the entire competition. Right, that's his competition at international level. Right, they're the players who he's hoping to get picked for England ahead of. I mean, whether he's even going to make the squad at this point is pretty doubtful.
Something tells me he's going to see more of Wayne Lineker than Gary Lineker this summer.
Well, you'll see. I'm sure they'll be showing the games in Wayne's place. But like, it is just, yeah. I mean, at that moment, you thought, well, look, I mean. Okay, we started off here talking about Haaland, and obviously Haaland, unfortunately, is bearing a burden that a lot of people don't know about, which is that, you know, I wrote in support of Erling Haaland on Monday in the Irish Times. I said, you know, this guy, Erling Haaland, is a good blah. And, you know, what?
No, I mean, no, please continue. Please continue. He's a great fucking player, and yous are all fucking idiots.
Not enough people have paid tribute to Erling Haaland's goal scoring ability. No, it was just in comparison to some of the
Darwin Nunez.
It's my view that if Erling Haaland played for some of these other teams, they would be doing better than they are. And, you know, we shouldn't sort of dismiss the fact that he is like a goal scorer like we've never seen before.
Was last year. He's not a goal scorer like you've never seen before this year. Not Phil Foden. Cole Palmer is level with him. Ollie Watkins is right up there with him as well. Last season, his big chances, he converted 53%, right? More than half of his big chances. This season, care to hazard a guess? In the Premier League?
21%.
Well, not that bad, but 35%. So he's down from over a half to just over a third, which is a fair old chunk of big chances missed compared to last year. My point being, he's still scoring goals because he gets loads of big chances and all of that. But if he's not contributing, if he's not scoring goals, if he's not shooting the lights out and getting you goals and the odd goal in big knockout games in the Champions League as well, then his all-round play isn't good enough for him to be making any difference on the pitch.
Yeah, no, I mean, his. First of all, the game that he was playing in, the team that he's playing in doesn't really suit him. And the game that he was playing in, the tide that he's been playing in against Real Madrid particularly didn't, because it was one of those sort of games where City have a sort of a choking superiority of possession, which Madrid are quite happy to let them have, because their game is all about, like, the goal that they scored. You know, I mean, the goal that they scored was a long ball. Bellingham basically produces a piece of individual brilliance to take it down, beat a man, and then, you know, the thing that was amazing about it was how quickly he did all the moves, like one after the other. You know what I mean? There wasn't a wasted touch in what he did. Plays it to Valverde, I think, who then just knocks it to Vinicius, who, well, we all know what happened then, but that was Real Madrid's whole plan. It's like, their half is empty, our guys are fast, you know, there's opportunity there. And they literally did nothing else in the rest of the game.
To hear our City Real Madrid reaction in full, become a member today on secondcaptains.com for only a fiver a month plus VAT. And you could be feeling as buzzed up as I do right now. Fair to say, it was a rather big reaction to Monday's Free to All podcast, which you guys
there
might have
was
listened to.
One.
This is the one about positionism versus relationism. I kind of feel like some media organizations, when they're looking for clickbait, looking for eyeballs, looking for more listeners to their podcasts, might throw something out like, "You'll never believe what this celebrity looks like now." What we do is we go back to an extremely detailed debate about these two, I would say, rather new concepts in football, or certainly the way they're framed. We dip back into the positionism versus relationism. Well, now, we had a number of listeners saying it was superb, just to put that out there, because that's not reflected in this clip that's been picked by our clickbait-loving producers.
Yeah. I mean, I think the spectrum went from well-meaning apathy to outright disgust. I mean, I think that was basically the spectrum.
We had a number of listeners saying it was superb. Yeah, an esoteric, superb, very interesting chat and all that kind of stuff. But yes, it is fair to say, not everybody loved it. Been a member for 5 years, can easily say that was the worst episode of Second Captains I've ever listened to. National football shirts. This should have been one. This has a lot in it. This should have been one of your Friday phone it in pods, not a Monday.
Come on now.
On behalf of the Friday of Funny Fridays, I resent that.
Listen, we put our hearts and souls into those Funny Friday episodes, everyone.
Sean Conway, maybe it's better if we don't know how the sausage is made. Jack Kennedy listened all the way through, but almost bailed out once we got to the phrase, "Your landscape of affordances has been truncated." Harry says, "I give this episode..."
I don't get the joke. What's the joke?
It's not, Ken, it's not a phrase the type of phrase we grew up with.
Yeah,
it's because your landscape of affordances has been truncated.
Yeah, apparently so.
You got the blinkers on, Owen.
I give this episode an XP... expected pretentiousness of 7.359. Hey, I've given you loads of positives here as well, Ken. You're only hearing the negatives. DC says, without a doubt, the worst podcast you've ever done.
Okay,
I include all the rugby ones in that. I just needed to get that one in there, because this guy, for the likes of DC, that sounds like the ultimate insult.
Yeah.
It was worse than a rugby pod. So mixed reaction, Ken, is what I'm saying. This is good. You know, it's good to get this kind of feedback. This is like we got a lot more reaction to that than most chats that we've probably ever had in the podcast.
Yeah, that's maybe we should do it every week.
Once a month. Once a season.
Once a season, we dip right back into that, deep dive back into that stuff.
I don't
Not a football season now, like a, you know, like a weather season.
So what, these people who say that was the worst podcast ever, what do they want? Just banter, just a bit of... Just we need to laugh. We need just us laughing.
Brado says Micah Richards.
Yeah, well, he's obviously the best, but we can try. We can we can do it.
Murph, to all the haters out there, I have one thing to say.
Your landscape of affordances has been truncated.
The landscape of affordances of every team in the All Ireland Hurling Championship is wide open at the moment, as nobody has played a game yet. It starts with a bang this weekend, and nowhere, nowhere will you hear better analysis than Jamie and Ma on the World Service.
When Tiger was at his absolute peak, the day he's not playing because of some knee injury or some sort of injury, that's the day you've got to go and pick up a pot, because that's an opportunity that you don't get all the time. And that's what Leinster represents for Galway. If they want to progress and eventually go and win the All-Ireland, well, they have to show that they can actually get something done on the day of a final, because that is a mental barrier. And the longer you go without actually going getting it done, it becomes a bigger barrier as well. And I think that's where the pressure stems from in Galway, that, you know, we aren't talking about correctly with Kilkenny.
You mentioned Clare in amongst all that, Jamie, and we've somehow managed to start with Leinster ahead of the Munster Championship, which is no
harm. Eat your vegetables first. Get them off the plate.
Well, let's get to the tasty stuff now. The tasty stuff down in Munster.
That is outrageous.
Oh, man, unbelievable.
Disgraceful.
Clare obviously won that league. They've got Tony Kelly to come back in. How easily does that transition happen, given how well they went without him?
Not easily. I know it's going to sound insane. Your best player coming back isn't an easy thing to navigate. From their perspective, I want to be really careful about how I phrase this, because I don't need the abuse that will inevitably come if Brano does me up with some stupid quote on the Twitter page. If Clare get his reintegration right, it could make them All-Ireland champions.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The press, they are garbage.
And whoever gets to run FIFA going forward need to be clean and people
honest.
Have to be.
I feel Qatari, Arab, African, gay, disabled, a migrant worker.
We are now in this amazing place.
Yeah.
Clearly, Qatar has far more money than FIFA ever would, and they could bankrupt FIFA.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Lift goes down to the lobby. Burst out through the doors like Shergar and smash straight into the fucking glass. And bounce backwards like off a trampoline. And I sort of lie there twitching. And the hotel produced the first aid kit. Tell him he's Henry Winter and send him back out there. I'm here to do a job.
Of course, I'm not really a migrant worker.
The winner is Qatar.
Malachy also features in our chat with Oisín McConville, fresh from his Wicklow team, stunning Westmeath in Leinster, and then having their hearts broken by Kildare. This clip starts with Oisín talking about his goalkeeper, Mark Jackson, returning from his NFL tryouts.
Yeah, no, he was available, but look, he's
he hadn't played no football. You know, Shane Doyle has come in and done well, and probably just right before Mark came back, and probably even when he was back, they were probably his best three games. So, like, there was no way I could drop him then. But I suppose it's all up in the air again now, because, you know, we're going to get an opportunity for the likes of Mark and these boys to get in and get 4 weeks proper training done, and also, you know, a match here and there. So shows up best will be in goals from there. But yeah, it's good to have Mark back, because he offers much more than just being a goalkeeper. He's a great lad to have about the place, and obviously his experience, you know, seeing what he's seen over the last number of months, is definitely going to help us, like, you know.
Yeah. In what way do you think? There's kind of the his eyes have been opened to what professional sport is like, I suppose, and that alone is worth talking about in the group.
More like exposure to things, exposure to different things, and exposure to positivity. Like, and I know, you know, when it comes to, you know, to American sport and American sports people, that sometimes, you know, you can feel, you know, the brashness is a bit much in that, but probably if you're spending the majority of your time in Division 4, Division 3, and you feel as if you want, you know, you want more for yourself, and you want, like, a bit of that brash is probably no harm to have about the place. And I think if we could get a bit of that off him, or even him to, you know, part some of that as far as, you know, the approach, you know, exposure to, like, I mean, like, I did have a few people giving out to me about the fact that, you know, there was, you know, we did a bit of media stuff during the week off the back of the Westmeath game, and like,
hang on, people were giving out to you about that, because I know Malachy Clerkin was down with you for the Irish Times. It was a really good piece, nice insight into an inter-county squad, but there's nothing in there that looked in any way like Kildare are going to pin this up. There were still a few people giving out about that, like you'd lost a run of yourselves, or?
Well, yeah, I suppose it's not so much, you know, what was there any fuel in it? It wasn't so much that, it was just like why, you know, what, like, you know, batten down the hatches, you know, keep your head down, you know, you're trying to cause an upset. I don't really want to look at what these players have been exposed to before. I don't really see it like that. You know what I mean? I see it in a completely different light. I see it like they need exposure. Like, they're like, if you're in Wicklow, you're fighting for column inches every week. You're not going to get them above Dublin. Like, if when I played with Armagh, I wrote about us whether we were winning or losing or whether we were even playing or not. That doesn't happen in the weaker counties. That doesn't happen in the likes of Wicklow. It's, you know, you need a big signature win, or you need, you know, something to happen, you know, for somebody to write about you. So given the opportunity to get these boys exposure, and let's face it, like, if you can't talk to a journalist, or you can't do a bit of media stuff and handle it, well, then the chances of you playing in front of 82,500 people in an All-Ireland final or whatever, you know, it's not really gonna, you know, you haven't really been tried and tested at that stage. So, again, I think it's the exposure thing, and I think that's why Mark coming back in is significant for us. I think people within, our boys within the squad can see, you know, we're not, you know, the minnows. People are interested in what they're doing. Like, the support definitely during the league wasn't, you know, there was damn all people at our matches, but definitely was a significantly bigger crowd there from a Wicklow point of view yesterday. And we want those people to keep coming back. And how are they going to keep coming back? They're gonna, you know, be fond of the team. They're gonna fall in love with, you know, certain players. I mean, like, my kids are from Cross Midland, but like, when they were at the Westmeath game, they're coming running over to me after the game. I get a fleeting hug, okay, but they want to talk. They want a picture with Kevin Quinn, or they want, like, I know that these guys are not well enough known, not even in their own county. So a wee bit more exposure to that, I think, it also helps them on the pitch. I know people won't understand that, but I do think fairly firm thinking around that, and around the things that you have to be exposed to in sport in order to make sure that whenever those crunch times come, that they're just water off a duck's back. And I think, as I say, the more we put ourselves in the frame in those games and whatever else is going off the pitch, we don't go searching for it, but if it comes to us, we invite it in, we take it and we embrace it and we run with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Not only do you reject the notion that it negatively affects you, you actually think it can positively affect the players and helping to deal with the expectation that comes with top level sport. As a matter of interest, Oisín, what sort of people were up and grumbling about it? Is it county board, people in the county board, or supporters?
No, absolutely, absolutely not. Just a few supporters, a few people I met after the game yesterday and stuff like that. But no, definitely not. The people went in the setup and the county board and all, absolutely. Same sort of thinking, embrace it, bring it on, the more exposure these lads
get. Get excited about it as well. It's sport, you're supposed to be excited about it, so we're not just march grimly through a tournament and not never saying boo to anyone anyway. Full chat with Oisín available now. Also, on top of everything I've already outlined, with the US presidential election in November that could throw this world of ours onto an even higher plane of chaos, Ken Early is talking to the hosts of the True Anon podcast, Brace Belden, I know you love the name, Murph, and Liz Fransack.
Brace. I love you, Brace.
And Liz. I've listened to the first 10 seconds, just the hellos at the start of this one, and I got to say, they seem up for this Ken Early political podcast, Liz and Brace. They seem well up for it. So that is available to members from tomorrow. They haven't even heard it yet. Sign up to the World Service. You'll hear all episodes ad-free. The Second Captain's podcast is... Oh, did I not thank you, Murph? I normally thank you before I do this.
Listen, come on. It's not like I did a whole
podcast. No, I got to keep it up.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you,
Owen. All episodes ad-free. Second Captain's podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.